This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, Georgie, check for Dadsy. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery free in terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes post-match phone-in on X or Twitter or whatever it's called these days.
Let's get to Dulla. I'm going to come to you after I have been to Mr. John Parslow, who's been waiting long and hard, who gave me a badge or four today. John, sir, hit your mic button. There is obviously the overriding hope that you are walking around Chorley Wood as you once did with the new dog, Bailey. Or are you sat on a sofa?
I'm sat in a car waiting for my daughter to come out, and luckily I'm not walking on cold because it's pissing it down at the moment. I dodged a bullet there. So luckily I stayed quite late to the game actually, and the afters. And interesting actually, I was able to pop in. I wasn't in hospitality, but I popped in with my mate. He came and got me so I could get in there. But yeah, I met Adeline and Mr. Alec Chamberlain. And Mr. Deeney, all in the bar a little bit. So yeah, really good. Yeah, I told Mr. Chamberlain that when asked the question, "Who's your favourite Watford goalkeeper apart from Tony Goodson?" I voted for him. So he was he took that in good spirit. Anyway,
I think he probably got second or joint second, I imagine, out of that thing when we started talking that particular brand of nonsense the other day. But that's fine. That's fine. So what did you make of, other than hobnobbing with people in hospitality when you weren't actually in hospitality yourself? What did you make of proceedings today?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because both teams had nothing to play for, but something was going on. I was, if I'm honest, if they had a bit of a striker, you know, everybody said we played quite well in the first, well, in bits, but until the second half, I thought we were struggling in areas that they were dominating us in midfield, because I thought Bellingham and their other player, Patrick, I can't remember his name, but for the first 20-30 minutes, we were struggling to get a grip, and I was a little bit worried. And I actually thought, well, Backman kept it with one save as well, a couple of saves, brilliant saves as well. Actually, one question for you, Peter, actually. Uh-huh. What did you think of Porteous today?
I think Porteous, ironically, looks better when he's on the left. Do you remember there was a, who was it? It may well have been Femenia at one point got shifted across the left back and did an absolutely sterling job for a couple of games. Because sometimes when you're on your area that you're less comfortable with, you're more engaged in the game. You're less likely to over-relax and make silly errors. I personally thought he didn't look that comfortable today. And I think so, I thought he looked better at, for example, Ipswich when he was on the left and he was just having to concentrate and do things a little bit easier. Ironically, I thought Pollock came in and had another solid game. Yeah. And his distribution in the first half down the left side was really quite cool. So no, I didn't think it was one of Pollock's best games today. However, I think he's had a much, much improved performances under Tom. So, I think there was a bit of a malaise today. It felt like the end of the season. It felt like nothing was on it because strangely there wasn't. So I'm not holding that against Ports. The other thing is I was surprised to see Porteous playing because one of the things Tom has come out and said is that in the case of Georgie Chakvetadze and in the case of Ryan Porteous, they've got to worry about going to the Euros. And we want to manage their time. So I was quite surprised that he played a lot. So I don't know whether or not he was slightly less competitive, shall we say, on that basis. What do you think of him?
Okay, I thought Hoot was outstanding because I thought he got him out of trouble a lot. But he's probably on the right to protect Greaves. Because I appreciate Greaves going forward look really good. But defensively, he was being ripped apart all over the place. He wasn't getting close to anyone at all. So it was a bit of a struggle. I suspect it was a half-time pre-agreed to bring Andrews on. So, yeah. But it clearly improved in the second half. But I think it's good in some ways. I think it sets up that there's lots to do. You know, if you use a team like Sunderland as a benchmark and stuff, and, you know, we've got a lot more holes to fill. We've got to get a deeper squad. So, but there was a couple of players. I don't know whether this has been discussed. Livermore, I think, was a goodbye at the end thing. Uh-huh. And did you see Espria? I don't know if this has been discussed. Espria was waving a lot to everyone, waving a lot as he came over to the rookery before they did the players walk around, you know, and he was just waving with both hands to everybody all around. And then he went back into players. And then he was the one actually pretty much spending all his time signing anything, taking every photo. So I've got a feeling he's gone. He's been sold.
I wouldn't be at all surprised. And I can't remember who it was. Somebody actually suggested that he may have already been sold back in March time, or the end of March, in terms of, you know, it may have been a deal done in order to bring it in within the financial kind of time, but not within the transfer window, but from a financial point of view, it might help. So who knows? We will see. He didn't look like he had his brain on the game, to be honest with you, today. Not in a horrible way. Just, you know, we can look at this in the same way as we can look at times when we haven't won or we've lost and see the good things in it. We can also see when we've won and look at it and go, well, you know, Espria didn't seem to be at it. If he was doing that, we saw the same thing with Kone, but he did that last season as well. And he walked around on his own rather than with the team in the case of Kone. And you would think that if there's two players with real sell-on value at this moment in time, it might be those two. Although I think a lot of the goal scoring and issues have actually falls down to our midfield and how we don't really create anything clear cut, so to speak. I'm not saying that the forwards have been prolific in any way, shape or form. They haven't, but we haven't also, you know, we also haven't created enough. Tells a lot that we've had so many, you know, a fantastic goal of the season competition because we've had so many long range efforts. That also translates as we haven't really created better opportunities. And so many times you see us try to walk the ball in. I think we did it a few times today, when sometimes it just needs to be in, you know, put into an area and delivered and finished. And hey, it's one of those. And we got one today from Ryan Andrews. So that's good stuff. That's good stuff indeed.
Can I just say one thing, then you can ask your question. So one positive for everybody, lots of conversation about Tom, but he is ending as permanent manager with 100% home record. So there you go. So thank you very much.
Yeah, that's true. He's going to keep 100% home record as permanent manager all the way through to August, which is a very good thing indeed. Yeah. Well, John has had some wonderful badges made and will be looking for people to partake in the prediction league next season, where he will maybe bringing his dice and backgammon set to areas near you, looking out for them, and you might even win a badge if you get that. That'll be good stuff. That'll be good stuff. John, sir, have a lovely rest of the weekend. That's great. Now let's change shift here and go to Abdullah, who's been waiting there. Abdullah, I've heard you on other people's podcasts. Welcome to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes post match phone in. How are you, sir? If you hit your mic button, you should. I'm sure you know the deal. How are you doing?
Actually, I'm doing great, although Udinese is doing really bad, but it's a tough period that we will go through it.
Yes. Now, anybody who has not been paying attention to Udinese, and I'm sure everybody listening will understand the fact that with co-ownership, shall we say, across the Pozzos, or Gino Pozzo and the Pozzo family, either way, that obviously it does have potentially an impact. And Udinese were basically just outside of the relegation zone on goals scored, but yet then last night Frosinone beat Salernitana to climb out, did they not?
Yes, actually now we need to win as much possible of the four matches left. Some of them are really tough. We didn't win except four matches this season. None of them was a direct competitor. So it was weird. We only won a single home victory all the season, not since November. So you are doing much better than us.
Not since November. Where does that ring a bell, everybody? I can't remember. What in terms of, I know Udinese have got to play Frosinone in one of those last four matches. I think it's the penultimate or maybe the final. I'm not sure. Do you see it coming down to that? Or because Frosinone looked pretty reasonable against Salernitana in the second half there, and looked stronger than I've seen from Udinese. What is your sense in terms of whether or not our sister club will actually stay up?
Actually, I am optimistic about staying up. I know it's now really tough, but I think this will serve as a big lesson for Gino and his family. Udinese and Watford was in last year's lost. I think Gino lost his magic tricks in guiding people because he don't do everything himself, but he usually trusts the right people to do. Last week I was, or a couple of days ago actually, I was talking about that Gino was mistaken to get our legendary Mariano out as director. Mariano just followed me yesterday on Twitter, so I think he do agree with me that Gino was mistaken to take him out. Now there is a talk that Mariano will get back, and this is a good thing and also positive for Gino to admit when he was mistaken. And I think that Gino need to do this a lot now in both London or Udine. It's a lot of mistake that has been neglected. So he didn't admit that he did some things wrong in both clubs, and he now need to own it to fix it. And I am big supporter of Gino. I don't want anyone to assume otherwise. But I think he should learn more from his mistake and don't just give the blame to a coach or a player or even the fans in some situations. For me, for example, getting Tom for Watford, he only won one or two games. I don't think anything positive about that can be said. He drew more than he won. So I don't think that it was a good decision to make now. He should wait it until the end of the season. Then he get with all the squad, discuss what he will do the future, which kind of player they will sign, how they want to build the team. Because I don't think Tom at the moment have any clear idea of a form that he want to play on. He is playing now 5-3-2 or 5-2-3, which is 3-4-1-2 or 3-4-2-1. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that Tom is really young in his experience as manager, so he don't have any clear idea. So he is not the kind of guy that will come and said, I want a team to be built around physics players or around speed players or skills players. I want to build about 4-3-3 or something like that. And I think that will be a mistake, because what Watford and Udine have in common in the last years is that we missed the coach that can change everything. The coach who can turn out an average player to a really good player by trying him in different position, not just shifting him from right to left. It's something need imagination. So, and charisma. And I don't believe that neither Tom or Fabio Cannavaro that we just got in Udine do that. They maybe have an experience as players, but they will be much fitted as assistant coach. We need someone who have a clear idea to how he want the team to play and then stick with him for 2-3 years, no matter what the result is, because you want to give the team a character that is missing in Watford and in Udine. We are only stick to 3-5-2 without any character, nothing. And in Watford, you change formation. So I don't think that is... I was playing 4-3-3, I believe. And Tom Cleverley now switched back to 5 in the back. It's give more security, but it's not an idea that you want to see as a fan. You want to see your team playing in a way that no matter who is playing, they will do the same tactics. This I see is missing in Watford and in Udinese for about 4 or 5 years. The best days for me as Watford fan, because I didn't start until Bozo area started. So I will say Zola time. I like the team with the counter-attack. It was deadly. I love the way. Okay, we play in counter-attack. That was deadly. Okay, good, great. You have a character. In Udine, we have the same. Our golden years was a counter-attack with Di Natale and Sanchez, just like Federa and Dini. So I don't believe that neither of us does have a character at this moment. And having so-called assistant coach become coaches, which our experience in the 3 years, last 3 years, we always promote assistant coach to become a coach, does not help on that. But it's helped in Gino making him his idea in the team. So he want to sign different set of players and who want to play in different tactic. And he will get someone, okay, this is the tools I will give you. You will play like this and use those players. I don't want that. I want the coach to have the control in how he want to play. And I think this what can change both Watford and Udinese future to the positive. We have some good talents in either of our squad. I am afraid that with Asprey and Coney going, you will lose a lot of quality in the midfield, especially. And for years, I don't think that Watford had quality in defense or goalkeepers. I know this is a touchy topic for most of Watford fans. There is always someone who will say that we have good goalkeepers, but I don't think you do. Okaya, who was the third goalkeeper in Watford, now is our first and he's doing great. And Bokman, for me, is not a goalkeeper that you should rely on if you want to get promoted. Same goes for attackers. You need either a good goalkeeper and a player, superstar player, to get the team up, or at least good goalkeeper with a finisher attacker that does not miss chances. I like Denis, but he is not the guy. He is good. Don't take it wrong, but he is not the guy who can get you up alone. So I think that we have the similar situations. And when two clubs have the same situations, you know the responsible is one guy. Because it cannot be a coincidence that we have similar issues in both Udine and London. And
I don't disagree with you there. I think there are similar ailments from the one underlying cause. I have to kind of question when you said, you know, look, I'm very pro Gino Pozzo, but then it comes down to two things. It comes down to how he manages and who he appoints as a manager and how he supports those or how he doesn't, and all the players that he recruits. And I would suggest that I think the malaise is the fact that I think the pandemic, for want of a better phrase, has seen both clubs acquire huge amounts of debt. Watford are now working through and improving theirs, but debt to Gino Pozzo, which means that the opportunity of bringing in new investment is a challenge, because in a way the club is worth less than he is owed in many ways now. You look at the Udinese roster and it doesn't really hold a candle to what it previously did, especially if you take somebody like, unfortunately, Gerard Deulofeu, who it doesn't look like is going to make it back to playing the way things are going. Obviously, we all hope that he does. And therefore, you're ending up giving that manager or that head coach who he is appointing correctly or incorrectly, what have you, but them being impatient and, as you say, blaming them potentially for things going wrong. You're not giving him the players and the palette to play for. And as you said there, he needs to make sure that he's getting behind a manager's philosophy in terms of doing it. I think that's important. Watford, prior to the Pozzo era, have had some fabulous success with young managers. In fact, we did with young managers. If you look at Cisco Munoz, young manager. You look at Slavisa Jokanovic when he came in, he was still a pretty young manager. You look at Graham Taylor, you look at AD Boothroyd in the early success of Graham Taylor. He was successful all the way through. You know, young managers in the UK, or certainly at Watford, we have had young managers, but very experienced, wise, almost conciliary kind of positions, where you see a vastly experienced assistant manager who's almost like a mentor. That's another way to look at it. And I think that's going to be an absolute key thing for Tom to have. You also mentioned that obviously Tom's only won two games now, obviously previously not, and he'd drawn a lot of games and there wasn't anything good in that. If you go back and, as I'm sure you're aware, look at the results that we were getting prior to Tom coming in, we weren't getting draws, we weren't getting wins, we were getting beaten very, very regularly. And I think that's probably why we look at it as a good thing that Tom has come in, and because of our experience with young managers, providing they have that experience that you talk about there, in the assistant or the mentor role. I think that can really be something, and we'll see. But we'll be watching Udinese with interest as it goes through. Udinese sold Beto to Everton. Who is currently leading the line, bearing in mind you've got Delafeu out injured? Is Isaac Success getting much game time?
No, actually, Isaac Success should go to play rugby now. I think it will be much. Actually, we have Luca, which is a 2-meter player,
yeah.
A really long player, and he's doing really good job. But other attackers that we have, like Bernard, which we got for 10 million, which is really expensive for our history of buying players, still injured from start of the season. Davis, we got from Aston Villa, was also almost always injured, so the both of them don't have 40 minutes in the field. Dilofo obviously is missing from last year until now. They think he might get back next season, but he is still doing his role as a leader of the group, even in social media, which I like about Gerard. He's a really good player, even off the pitch. But I want to get back to a point about the kind of quality of players. I don't believe that quality of players are an issue, neither in Watford, neither in Odney. They are both good players. Sometimes when you send us a player like Okoya or Ferreira, they both did not look championship materials, but they are playing in Serie A regularly. And that makes my point that when you get players with good quality, you need a coach who know how to use them. I believe that young coaches are good, and anytime you change coach, you expect a mental change of the players and the result to change. Even if you appoint me for 3 matches, I can get the result better than getting beaten even in Odney. But it's a challenge to keep that running, because a change usually come with a period of more motivation players. They want to prove themselves for the new manager. But yeah, after that, the result might get back to how it used to be. Regarding young coaches, also Zola and Silva in the Bozo area, both were young. And I don't think that any team would bet on them as Gino did. And they both turned out to be good choices, except Silva and going out to Everton. But he deserves what he got with his decision. But I think in both case scenarios that I am optimistic about the future, because the scouting network will get us both in London and Odney good players. They always do, but they need the right coach to discover them. In our golden years, no matter which player we get, he will be awesome, because the coach will use him. We get him as an attacker, then he will play as a midfielder. We don't care as long as he is doing good. And that was example when we got him. He was a winger for the attacker, and then we used him as a midfielder, and we used him as defensive midfielder sometimes, playmaker, and he did well. He was really young when we got him the first time. He was 19 years old. Yeah. And he was an example. Dybala, when we got him from Valencia, he was a playmaker that no one knew about him. We got him for 4 million. And he came to Odney and get number 10 with Goric. He was really having balls to take the number 10. And
Abdul, if I may, sorry, because we've got some people that we've got to go to, but I just want to ask a quick question. If we went to the average Udinese fan in the street, not just yourself, but everybody, and said, what do you think about Gino Pozzo? One, is Gino Pozzo seen to be running Udinese, or is it still Gianpaolo Pozzo and the Pozzo family? And what do you think of Gino Pozzo? Because we see quite a lot of negative vibes towards him on sort of social media, but social media tends to pick up negative vibes. What would the average man say?
Yeah, I think Gino have more negative than positive in Odney. Uh-huh. His father is quite the opposite, have definitely positive thoughts. But they believe that everything is doing good in Odney is because of Gianpaolo, and everything is doing bad is because of Gino, which is not fair for both of them. But I think, yes, you are right. Gino does not have the full support in Odney, and that's why I believe if we got relegated, Gino will try to make it up even by taking Coney and Asprilla to Udinese. He will do anything to try to fix this relationship with the Udinese fans. But I don't think that we will get to this point. And he is not a really likable guy in Udinese right now.
Okay, well, there we go. There we go. Abdullah, thank you so much for coming on. Sorry, obviously I wanted to give Abdullah some time there because hearing a little bit about what Udinese fans are thinking, hearing what an Udinese fan's perspective is, and somebody who's also been following Watford, really interesting. Abdullah, thank you so much. Indeed, do join us again. That'd be great.
Hi, this is Jan Moby, and this is the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Let's get across as a last call to Nelly, who I imagine may have just about finished his journey. Nelly, are you with us, sir?
Hey, it's one of those days on the M25, and I'm down just down near Leatherhead. It's pouring down with rain, and stop. So, that was really interesting listening to that last caller. That was great.
Yeah, it's great, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it was nice to meet up with you again, have a little chat before the game. So, just basically, I'm not going to say too much about the game itself. I think they put a piece of paper up in the training meeting the other day and said, "Just win it. Whatever you do, just win. Just win." Like, you know, there was, I don't know whether it was nervousness. We gave away possession a lot, and it wasn't just one or two individuals. They were all guilty of it throughout the game. You know, a nice little bit of move by Conan, Andrews, etc. And there we go. You know, we've got the win, what we all wanted. Well, the more interesting is listening to Tom after the game. He used that magic word, didn't he? He used that word connect. And I think he's already connected quite well with the fans. You know, they're chanting his name. Like I said to you before, I haven't heard them chant the manager's name for quite an awful long time down at the Vic. That was good. Yeah, it was nice to see the players acknowledging and coming round. He said his own statement was, "I want to," and Kone, he was doing a lot of badge kissing as well at the rookery end. So it was good. To me, positive to work through. I'm glad they've made the appointment now, actually, so you can actually kick into gear, organise your time off, organise your pre-season, and especially organise who you want to bring in and who you want to let go. So all in all, it was, as I said to you earlier today, Pete, it has been a disappointing season for where we finished up. You know, we can't deny that. We're not where a lot of people want us to be at the moment, but I'm sure if we give the man time, you know, he's capable, I think, of getting us there with someone maybe coming in an older type to mentor him. So that's just my opinion for today.
No, that's lovely stuff, sir. That's lovely stuff. Well, it was lovely to see you and lovely to see everybody down the bunker, even though it was pretty filled up. Do have a good journey back on the M25. I'm going to go to the five-word reviews in a second, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about something's coming out this week, which is our conversation with AD Boothroyd. It will come out in probably three parts, I should think, just to make it a little bit digestible. What I hope we see next season is a team that kind of, well, does this really. We asked AD about various things, and he just started talking about his kind of philosophy. See if this rings a bell.
What I believe, and still do believe, is that people want to see goal mouth action, that people want to see goals, that people want it, fans want to get off their seat and somebody goes, "Oh, how did he do that?" And then the kids go home and practice it up against the wall or whatever it is. And I was very much about, we can beat these. We can beat these. And I wouldn't talk about the opposition to be afraid of them. I would just talk about how we're going to win, how we're going to beat this group that's been put in front of us.
And that kind of speaks back to Abdullah's point about having a coherent style of play that you impose on the opposition. You go on the front foot, so to speak. I think that kind of was an important thing. And it's something that I think is inherent within many, not all, but many Watford supporters, is we want to see us kind of go at a team and really do that. We didn't necessarily do it that well today, but we did well enough to get a win. Probably not a great performance, and certainly not one of Tom's better performances. We've played better and drawn, as we know, than we have in terms of going and winning. And so sometimes we do need to look at the underlying performance and not just the results in and of themselves, but the appointment has been made and it's interesting and it's there. Now, with Jimmy Gilligan going to be returning back to the academy, and you have to remember that Jimmy has been working for 30-odd years in developmental coaching, development football, rather than as a first-team manager. It's not a great surprise to me that that's what he's been doing for a long time. It's what he wants to do, and that's probably why he's done it for so long. In which case, it does open up that opportunity. And again, as per that conversation with Wendover or Abdullah or all the people that we're speaking about who might come in and be a mentor to him. Now, in the conversation that we have with AD, we talk about the person who was his mentor and his first assistant manager when in charge, who was Keith Birkinshaw, who was a manager at Tottenham between, I think it was something like 1975 and 1984, where they won the FA Cup a couple of times and they also won the UEFA Cup, now the Europa League. And I asked him this: if you were now to give mentorship or advice to AD Boothroyd of 2005 coming into Watford, what would be the three pieces of advice you would have given yourself with the experience you have now, looking back on that? AD Boothroyd's head has just exploded. I do apologise.
I think the first thing is there's a lot of things that we did as a group that were brilliant, that were so good. But I think probably you look at the start of it, look at the middle of it, look at the end of it. The end didn't end great. I've since made my peace and everything's fine and everybody's okay again. But I think as a younger guy, I would have been a bit brighter in how I dealt with things at the end. I think the second piece of advice I'd give is be yourself. Don't do a job. I hear it sometimes now when I listen to some of the coaches and I can hear a lot of buzzwords and a lot of things that are being said that really don't need to be said. So an awful lot of waffle rather than give people what they want, tell them the truth. And I know you've got to be protective sometimes for all kinds of different reasons. But that'd be my second bit of advice, would definitely to myself, would be make sure that you are yourself, be honest, be genuine. Don't try and be anybody else. Just, by all means, steal from people in terms of their sessions and what they do, but be your own man. And I think the third thing, you have got me thinking here, third thing, I think don't be too quick to discard players. So I told you about Matthew Spring and Damien, maybe John Eustace and Gavin Malm would be another example of that.
Okay.
Because they're quite similar.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be too quick to, these lads have done really well and maybe you've got to improve it enough that your team is better, but keep the corner strength that's got you there and don't sell anybody and don't get any injuries, which unfortunately the last two we did.
So there you go. That's just a couple of excerpts from what we hear. AD was absolutely thrilled with the reception that he'd had the previous Saturday. You know, he knows that, not everybody, loved all of his time here. He knows that things went wrong. And he's also got quite a self-deprecating way of looking at things. He describes himself when he says about getting better as making less mistakes. He doesn't talk about it saying, I made this decision, I did this. There's a humility to him now after kind of 20 years of success and failure. You know, it's that experience. It's that experience that Abdullah mentioned there earlier on. And he's got some of that. So that'll be out in three parts. I think it'll be well worth listening to. He was, genuinely delighted to come. He didn't duck any questions. And for somebody who I was a little bit, the jury's out on, well, you listen to it and you see what you think. But I think it'll be well worth having a quick listen to. In the meantime, of course, whoever that person will be, we will see. We talked about, Troy Deeney coming in. We talked about various things. Whatever it is, suddenly we're talking about what might be excitement, maybe anticipation about what's going to happen. But the one thing we will need to see is a level of support for Tom, no matter what, come hell or high water. Yes, yes, I went there. I said it. I do apologise. But we come out of today with a result, and that's a good thing. But even more, we've got some 5-word reviews, so we're gonna get into these now. I did see on the survey some people said, "Well, don't have to read out all the five word reviews." All I'm going to say is, guys, if you don't want to listen to the 5-word reviews, turn off. Thank you very much indeed. I'm going to read them all out, and I'm going to continue to do so because people take the time to just put across what their view is. Not everybody wants to talk. You know, in the bunker today, we were doing some bits of fun. Some people don't want to talk into a microphone. Get it completely. It's no problem at all. So the 5-word reviews, let's go here. John Parslow says, 3 consecutive home clean sheets. It was indeed. Obviously, the 2 previously were 0-0, but that doesn't matter. Brian Edwards, don't be fooled. Sunderland weren't even trying. Okay. The Big Lebowski says, great, but like pulling a tooth. Simon Parkins, was the waving Yasser goodbye? Well, we heard Abdullah say, you know, potentially, you know, looking at those, who knows, they could be Udinese bound. If they are, let's hope we can get as good a deal as we did for Kamara. Jane Kearney, hello, Jane, said, sad to see Asprilla go. I think we know that the shining lights are going to have to go, but are they as productive as we could get? As you know, there weren't any great lights in that Sunderland team, and they were really, yes, of course, they've got the young Joby, who's you know, the young Bellingham, yeah, but you know, Jack Clark, yeah, he's good. Other than that, really, no, I don't think that much. I think we can entrust and have a look and see whether or not we can have more games next season decided by academy products as we did today. A win, but very boring, says Brian Edwards. Carl Campion said, Mr. Q out, disgraceful scenes. Yes, did you hear that? We've been talking about trying to get a target. They finally bring in a target, and then they say, oh, well, here, whoever got this, you can have £1,000. Give it to the guy who's going to give it to the charity. I'm sure that's probably done. Backman robbed of player of the season, says Gary. Hello, Gary. Wendover robbed of £1,000, says Carl Campion. Nero, the golden boy, says, doesn't paper over the cracks. No, you're absolutely right. And I think we've talked about the pros and cons of the performance, and it wasn't a great performance, and there were things missing. And even Tom's come out and said that. And I think that's really good that, as per Rich saying, he sees it as we do. That's a good thing. I don't think there's anybody, hopefully, kidding themselves about that. I don't think so. Natasha Wright says, officially in Cleverley's era, adelante, she says, which is apparently onwards. I don't know. Natasha may be just making me swear in Italian. I wouldn't put it past her. Well done. Dr. Dickie Sutton, he of the medical training, says, tough watch, but great winner. Watford FC Sweden, there were lots of Swedish flags. Talking about flags, it's about time we won, he said. Carb says, finally a win at home. I know, and all of that. Alan Ray says, we actually won a game. Great goal, not much else, says Alan Lathwell. Dave Lavender, whole season, no home penalties for us. We have no penalties at all. Yeah, I can only remember one away. Dave Lavender, another clean sheet for Backman. Ryan Cripps says, a nice win at home. Good way to end our abysmal home form this season. Cleverley is our man. Yawns. Louis Teixeira says, at least we won. Finally, Alan WFC, Cleverley has given us. Willie Eckerslike says, He said it. Just hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. There we go. Mikey Abraham says, not pretty, but a win. I'll do that. Hornet Haikus says, monkey off your back. Here's to many more home wins next year and beyond. Liking that. That has the touching sentiment that little Miss Dawny really isn't going for. Just saying, I'm laughing at the Mackhams. Oh, Ben says, Nigerian curse has been lifted. Oh, crikey. Is that all it took? I don't think so. Tom Hagen says, scrappy, good goal, good result. Brian Edwards didn't stay for the awards. I know, I did. Green shoots, but some manure, says Pete. Unhippie man. Hello, Pete Fincham. Hope you're well, mate. Gary Wilson says, forgotten what winning feels like. I almost didn't recognise Depeche Mode when it finally got around to it. We were playing far too many sarcastic stuff. David Small says, lucky, with a who's that? I can't remember what that name is. Is it Napoleon Dynamite? I think it may be. Not sure. Carl Campion says, I just can't get enough. There you go. Andres Maurizio 714 says, where is it going? Don't know. No idea. Was a spree of waving goodbye asked for Zana Chowdhury? Yeah, that was it. Backman getting a Ron tattoo, says Sean Pugh. Well done, Sean. Jack says, we won an effing game. Martin Pollard says, finally, weight off our backs. We are on the beach, says Max. I think both teams were. It was. We've talked about mid-table championship fare for a few weeks, and this was the same, but we got the deciding moment. that's the nature of football. You can't score the winning goal and not say, well, at least we scored the winning goal and we got the 3 points. And, you know, that's a good thing, having not done it at home for so long. Yeah, no, it wasn't great, but it'll do in comparison to what had gone before it. You have to love it when Backman's kid has a Livermore shirt on at the end, says David Sweet. Did he really? I didn't see that. Gary Short says senior players didn't trust Greaves. It was really interesting how often the ball kept being switched right rather than being played out to Greaves there, Jack Greaves on the right. He didn't do anything wrong when he had it, but it was almost like we're not going to play to you. I remember seeing a couple of games in the under-21s and the under-18s where try gets played and the team aren't trying to play into them because somebody might come in and take their place. And it felt a little bit like that, you know, whether or not it's a lack of trust or whatever it was. He was also being played properly out of position. I don't think Jack has played very often as a right back / right wing back / wherever he was. Gary Short says senior players didn't trust Greaves. As I said there, Stuart Roberts, up the Tom's Yellow Army. There you go, Dylan Shaw. We need that home win. We did. Chris Taufer says five words times three. I like that. Lost without Backman, Hoot and Porteous. Okay, there you go. Porteous, John Knight said we thought he was a little bit, not bad, but just didn't seem to have the confidence and the simplicity that we've seen previously. But that actually says something about the level of performances that he'd previously come out with, I think, under Tom. Uncle Ron says, putting up the bunting tonight. There you go. He has bunting and he is erecting it this evening. Jimbo says, Birmingham City got new owners. Care for what you wish for. Oh, crikey, I haven't even seen the table. Where are Birmingham? I need to have a look at this. I'll go and have a look. Don Bisner said, forget the five words. Greaves, Andrews and Cleverly did us proud. I'm glad you called out Greaves. Well done, sir. Thank you. Signing off from the Vic. Don, have a good summer if we don't speak to you after the Middlesbrough game. But thank you so much for all of the five-word contributions. Let's quickly get onto the long forms. Then we can let you crazy cats get out. Wendover Horn says, where is Uncle Ron when we win? He has come on previously when we've won. He's also on occasions not come on when we've lost. But, you know, yeah, that's fine. That's your point. No problem at all. Need to be in the opposition penalty area to win penalties, says Gary. Oh, I see. Yes, that's a good point. We weren't often and we don't cut through it very well. The Big Lebowski says, oh, one more thing, because he was on earlier on. He says, it may seem a bit of a wild one, but what about trying Andrews as a forward at some point to see how he does? He hasn't scored many, but those he has have been extremely well taken and he has pace. Ooh, what do we reckon, eh? Well, don't forget, of course, his dad, Wayne Andrews, was a striker of no small pedigree. He went on to Colchester and then had a fairly, you know, nomadic footballer's life in and around the kind of the Championship and below. But, you know, no reason why not. Justin has thrown in the don't forget to get our tickets for the big night out, which is basically going to be, yes, well, lots of Watford-related nonsense and stuff. And we just thought it's going to be almost like a bit of a variety show, I think it's going to be, for want of a better phrase. Lots of stuff, lots of nonsense, and hopefully, lots of audience participation. Just have a laugh. Le Big Lebowski says, agree with Wendover. We have a lot more to be excited about this close season for the first time in a very, very long time. Think we should be looking and building for at least playoffs next season. Well, at least I got the frozen season ticket price, so nothing lost whatsoever, whatever happens. Cole Campion said, missed the lap of appreciation and the club's end of season's awards. Do you know if the Cesspit FC award was also handed out? If so, who won the vilest player of the year? More most grotesque moment of the season. Well, I will say that James Morris, who is highly regarded at Cesspit FC, I believe, did walk round and was there. And I imagine he would have probably been their player of the season for a player who's got the most brickbats, despite often being not playing because somebody else who's much maligned in Jamal Lewis has been playing in his place. Gary also comes back with, and sorry about all those people who don't like non-league, but Hamwell Town narrowly avoided relegation today. Toon Army staying up. There you go. Went down there and saw those with Gary earlier on this season and a good amount of fun was had. Le Big Lebowski also comes back. He's almost all of these things today. With reference to number twos versus for Clevs, number twos, only bring in Steve McLaren if he speaks permanently in a Dutch accent. Yes, that was a great one. That was right up there with Joey Barton when he did the French thing, which was, you know, well, you can have your own views about Jerry Barton. Louis Teixeira says, always good to end with a home win. Season's been terrible, but it's a nice way to mark the start of Cleverley's reign. Not the best performance, but I thought Andrews was really good down the right when he came on. On to Borough. Nice to see everyone pre-match too. Was nice to see you as well, Louis. Mr. Dr. Dickie Sutton comes back and says, Backman, fifth clean sheet in 8 games. Important stop at the end of the first half. Some people will be fuming. Interestingly, Abdullah mentioned that Backman's not a player or a goalkeeper maybe to get you promoted, which kind of misses the point that he did get us promoted, obviously sharing almost half a season with Ben Foster when we did last get up. So he has got a promotion on his CV, and he has been performing much better under Tom. We do still need to stop that kicking nonsense stuff out around at the back for my money, personally. Spria and Kone clearly waving goodbye at the end, said Paul Fianderton. Hey, Paul, good to see you and the guys in the bunker before the game. Justin also comes in, filling in our anonymous listener survey. Yeah, whatever you think, it's good, it's bad, it doesn't matter. It just allows us to take on board what people think about what we're outputting, just so that we can hopefully improve this. Can you imagine? A great call by Rich WFC2, says Dr. Dickie Sutton. Speaking for the many, I doubt we'll see Asprilla, Martins and Dennis next year. He also said, Brett's wrong. The Nigerian curse lives on. Still no league goal at the Vicarage Road end in 2024. Gee whiz, that's not good, is it? I mentioned earlier on that Rich, like many people, has, you know, drops in notes that perhaps Andrew French might add, you know, to stories if they're ongoing. But he also added, he said, as I said, Tom gets it, and that's what gives me hope for the future. No platitudes, no nonsense. Today was rubbish. He saw that. We won, so we take it, but not fooling anybody. You know, the home fair has been horrendous for season ticket holders, and I read it out earlier, but it's worth reading again. Tom Cleverley. It'll be a struggle to pick the positives out of that other than getting the home win. We weren't consistent enough in our work. Next season, our style of play and performances at Vicarage Road will need to be substantially better. Does he have an idea about how he wants to play mapped out? He may do, but of course, he's literally inherited the team, 5 weeks ago? And he's had a number of games to put on. The times when he's changed from a back three have been basically, if we think about it, the Birmingham game away, where he just kept with a four because he didn't change much because he'd literally got, 5 days maybe to play that game. We went into the international break, we came back and we played with a back three, which we had not done. That was his preference. And he did remark that, yeah, we kept a clean sheet against Birmingham when we were the four, but I thought we looked shaky. I think we looked better with a three. That was his thoughts on it. And then, of course, we had those tools. We had the Southampton game where he changed to a back four from memory because I think Ryan Andrews was, I don't think he was fit to start, and Ngakia was, as he is at the moment, not fit. So he had to change to a back four seemingly. The rest of the time, I think he's played a three. So I think he's got a way that he wants to play. That doesn't mean that he can't necessarily tactically be adaptable, but it's a fair point and something to look at. But I think Tom might have a way that he wants to play, but he also does need to have that advice from others around him. The rule is denying a clear goal-scoring opportunity. Doubtful that was clear, says Simon Parkins. And that comes back to the question earlier on, right at the start, which was, well, why didn't he get a red card? This was Luke O'Neill who caught the ball as the ball was played over the top. I think if it had been slightly further advanced and through, it might have done. And as I said, I think from my position, I think the ball was angling from the centre out towards the left when it went over 09, who was playing the right side of the centre backs. But he did. He took a yellow card for them. And if they'd have got away with a draw, which seemingly they came for, even though they had some good stops from Backman to thank ourselves, with all of the time wasting that they did earlier on, which I really don't think they needed to do. They seem to be quite comfortable with that draw, so it seemed to be a good yellow to take at that particular point. Fortunately, at Watford Limericks, under Tom, you can see how we've grown. We sure showed a bit of backbone, but most important today, I am so proud to say, Ryan Andrews, he's one of our own. That's very nice. I like that. Let's get one of those in. For Watford, Limericks and Haikus all season has been fantastic. Mel says, see you all in August. There you go. That's Mel, WFC Chef. Now, I want to find out whether or not WC Chef mentions McDonald's. Don't think so. Why should we not be in the mix next year? The three teams likely to come down have less assets than the three who may go up.
We have players of value to trade and a nucleus of a squad better than most in the league. Can we get good loans from Premier League teams and some smart buys? If so, why not? I mean, that loving a bit of real kind of... It's not saying that's what's going to happen. It's going, why not? Like that. JP, unique if not, says cleverly needs a present-day Keith Birkinshaw. Exactly why I'm playing that. Thank you. Thank you, Unique. And Hannah Louise, who was at the game today, lovely top player of the season. Harry Hornet. Yeah. Jay finally says, personally, think Dennis has been extremely disappointing this season. I have to say, since we had that conversation, I don't think he's got over that injury that Tom has mentioned that he's been nursing for the most of the time that he's been with us. He was clearly incredibly unfit at the start. And if you've got a groin injury, get it sorted. Then get fit. That's the order to do it. But of course, we'd brought him in and we were trying to get a tune out of him in fits and starts and working out what we could do. Anytime you've got basically any kind of muscular injury, especially in and around, would you describe the groin as a joint? Yes, I think you probably would. You know, if it's likely to get, you know, stretched or pulled in a way, that's gonna limit what you can do. But he does look like a player who's not come back up to the speed that we had previously, which is a shame, because I think there is a damn fine player in there, but he needs to go away and get himself sorted. Will he be with us next season? I cannot see any way, shape or form that the finances would stack up. We need to go and box clever in other ways. Box cleverly. See what I did there? Wonderful stuff. Well, look, guys, thank you so much for everybody who's called in. Sorry, Chris, I didn't get to you at the end, but we need to get to it here. Anybody who's still finishing their journeys, get that done. Do be looking out for, first of all, there's one last thing. There should be an academy at your place on the 1st of May, which would be this coming Wednesday. So be on the lookout for that. It might be interesting to talk to Jimmy Gilligan about his experiences and how that connection comes through, how we turn it back into a conveyor belt, and how we see the kind of quality and the regularity of quality that we need to see. Plus, having trust from a manager who is going to try to trust those young players, ideally. That's another thing. But yeah, the Premier League loan players, who else can we do? All of these things are going to be interesting. So that's something there. This week you will see probably the first one will be out on Monday, I should think, which will be the AD Boothroyd. I played you a couple of little segments in there. If you were around in 2005, 2006, and or if you went down to Cardiff for the playoffs, one of the greatest and most unlikely season triumphs that you can possibly imagine. Actually, probably not a little bad, not a bad little kind of parable to listen to, in the hope that next season somebody might come in, a young manager, possibly be not really fancied and possibly do something. Possibly with a mentor, possibly not. We all will see whatever happens. But look, thank you so much, everybody, for taking part. Thank you for coming down to the bunker. We'll see you soon. Come on, you horns.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.